Hello, everyone, and welcome to Monday night's segment of the Horsefly Chronicles Radio with myself, Julia Syracusa, and Philip Syracusa. We're broadcasting live from the International Public Radio and the United Paranormal Radio Network on 105 FM from New Orleans. This evening's show is fully sponsored by Coronation, so we want to thank them for their sponsorship. We love them. You will have to do a few things in order to participate. Go over to the YouTube channel, UFO Paranormal Radio, or International Public Radio. You can also go into all of the Facebook stations, UFO Paranormal Radio Network, UFO Undercover with Joe Montaldo, News on the Flip Side, also Twitch, SoundCloud, Podbeam, and also go over to our group, Horsefly Chronicles Radio, and join the group if you haven't. And if you have any questions for our guests, please ask. So tonight, guys, we have two amazing guests, and we're so excited to have them on. So please welcome Todd Bonner and Jeff Adkins to the show. Todd and Jeff are the founders of Detroit Paranormal Expeditions, DPX. They are seasoned paranormal investigators. They both have had childhood experiences since a young age. The DPX team have investigated so many locations across the United States. They both give public tours of haunted locations, lectures, and helping to educate the public. And they work as consultants with other paranormal professionals from around the world. They both have been featured on Discovery Plus, the Travel Channel, Destination America, and TNE. They both have been on so many news outlets as well. You can find them and the DPX team on their website, DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com. So please, let's welcome them to the show.
Welcome.
Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Happy to be
Thank
here.
Thank you so much. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Well, you know, gentlemen, you have quite a resume there under your belt. Very impressive. So what I like to do is whoever wants to go first, just quickly tell us how you got started, your first experience, maybe it was adolescence, and then the next person.
Todd, do you want to go first?
Sure. Mine's a little bit longer, but I'll shorten it up. I had a few near-death experiences when I was younger. And then my first like true paranormal experience when I was probably 15 or 16, just kind of urban exploring at an abandoned psychiatric hospital here in Michigan. And I heard a disembodied voice and that was back in the 80s. And I tell people the story that I went to Catholic school, grade schools, high schools, and my father was a police officer. So we're kind of like taught that that stuff doesn't exist. So I didn't really say anything because there was no TV shows. There was no one I could really, you know, talk about my experience with, because I probably would have been in an insane asylum. They would have thought I was crazy. So I kind of, you know, fast forward to my later years where I got more comfortable talking about it. I joined a paranormal group, and that's how I met Jeff. And that was in 2011 or 12. And then it's kind of just taken off from there.
So when you say near-death experience, just really quickly, what happened?
The first one, I was getting my tonsils taken out, and they laser them out now, basically. All my kids have had theirs taken out. But back in the old days, they cut them out, and they would stitch you up. So I was in a room with another, and they kept you in the hospital back then. They don't do that now either. And I was in a room with another young kid, and he was getting to go home. I wanted to go home too, so I started screaming. Well, I ripped my stitches open, and ended up bleeding out. I had to get a blood transfusion, and I remember being panicked, scared, because the blood was like flowing out of my nose, my mouth, and like a calmness came over me, and I just I don't remember much like what happened after that. I blacked out, but it was like a calm feeling overcame me, like the panic was gone. And I was a kid, you know, I was 7 or 8, I think, and that feeling just overwhelmed me of everything's gonna be okay, and I just was relaxed. And then I woke up, you know, I don't know, hours later, my parents were there, and they had to give me a blood transfusion to save me. The second time we were on vacation in North Carolina, it was like a trout pond or a fishing pond. My dad was fishing, and I was just a dumb kid taking a stick, hitting the pond, and I fell in all the way down. And again, I remember the water coming in my mouth, my nose, panicking because I couldn't swim, but the calmness again came over me. Like all I can really describe it now as an adult, like it just let go.
I didn't understand that.
Everything's gonna be okay, and
listening.
I came back. My dad and someone saw me fall in. Came running to my dad. He didn't know I fell in. He dove in, brought me back up, did CPR, And that was my second one. I've had a lot of weird death experiences where I've witnessed people die in front of me. I've saved people, I think, from dying. So I don't know if that all has to do with paranormal.
The calmness is very interesting. I want to get into it a little bit later on the show. And Jeff, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I my first experience was when I was 9. So my mom worked midnights and would leave me at home with my sister. And then I was down the hallway, and one night in my room, my light turned on by itself. So I ran down there to yell at my sister and tell her to get out of my room. And then I quickly realized that she wasn't in the room. So that was the first of a lot of experiences that we had in that house. And from there, I just always I kind of stayed curious about it. And, sort of the passion grew. And then I think it was 2012 is when I had the opportunity to get involved with the group. And that's where I met Todd. And we were with that group for about 4.5 years. And then we just kind of wanted to do more, had a different vision for what we wanted DPX to be. And we spun off in December of 2016 and made DPX. And it's been a really good 5 years.
That's awesome. Wow. How old were you when you'd seen The Shapeshifter?
9, right? 9?
I was 9,
my first experience, yeah.
Because it happens. A lot of these shows, a lot of guests that we have on, have similar experiences at adolescence, including myself.
Yeah, me too.
And you said your sister, but it wasn't your sister. And that's the scary part, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it. If you're really seeing through the mind's eye or the physical eye, someone that you believe is your sister or your brother or your cousin, and it's really not, I mean, what's more creepy than that?
We've had that happen to us.
And you really got to think about it. And let's fast forward a little bit, and then we're going to rewind. Having seen that and being a paranormal investigator, as far advanced as you guys have become, what is it that you were dealing with and seeing?
Well, I think Todd and I have both encountered doppelgangers a few times throughout our career. You know, I heard Todd's voice clear as day at Tala, Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, when he was nowhere near me. And then Todd saw and heard me at Waverly when I was in a whole different part of the building. So I think it's a spirit that maybe is trying to, I don't know if it's maybe being deceptive, or maybe it's trying to show you something that you recognize as like a familiarity type thing. I'm not really quite sure.
I mean, I honestly think, you get a lot of different religious opinions about what we're dealing with and what we witness and see. I honestly think it's people. We've never, and some are dark energies. We've encountered dark energies, but we've never encountered anything demonic, so to say. But I think Jeff and I's belief are that if you're a bad person in real life, it doesn't mean you're going to instantly turn good when you pass on. So we do encounter those bad people in the afterlife, and why some of those energies linger, I have no idea. Why doesn't everyone linger, or why are those visible to us or can interact with us? I don't know that. I think that's why we keep doing what we do, to try and, we'll never find out in my lifetime, or probably Jeff's either. But I think those are the questions that are unanswered. That's kind of fascinating. And we get a lot of I don't know why we get so much interaction. I really don't know. It seems like everywhere we go, something happens. Maybe it's because we're both really in tune to that stuff now. Or the people that we're around. I don't understand all that. But
I mean, let's face it. You're paranormal investigators, right? And if a spirit knows, you can, and you have the capability of communicating, it's going to go to you.
Yeah.
Right? Versus an atheist, somebody who doesn't believe in anything, why would it try to, get through that wall? So in one essence, you're like a lighthouse to them. Mm-hmm. And then you have the, communication devices. Any of you psychic, medium, or intuitive, or clairaudient?
We work with Brandy Marie. Is a really good psychic medium. I think that Todd and I are both very intuitive. I mean, I'm not a psychic medium, but I feel like my intuition has gotten stronger over the years in doing this, and I trust it a lot more now. And I think, to your point about, people's belief systems affecting sort of how they, interact with the spirit world, if they get any interaction at all. I think that's a really good point. And then, there's also people that really desperately want to have an interaction, but just go through their whole life and never really do. And I mean, my theory on that, I think it's kind of like a spectrum. You've got someone like Brandy, or a really good psychic medium on one side, that can talk to and communicate and, back and forth dialogue with the spiritual world. Then you got people on the other side that want to have these experiences, but go through their whole life and never do. And then most people are somewhere in the middle. I mean, in doing a decade worth of this stuff, you know, the only way I've ever really seen a ghost was a black shadowy apparition that I could see through a shadow figure. You know, I've seen three of them very, very clear as day, as clear as I'm seeing you guys. And I wonder, am I able to see anything beyond that in detail? Maybe I don't have that ability.
That's interesting, the black shadows. I mean, we've seen that too, and there's just so many question marks behind that.
Yeah.
One thing that we did find out from having our own home investigated by so many teams is that they're intelligent, these black shadows. They're intelligent. I mean, we could have people in our basement and another team outside, and they'll go through their equipment on spirit boxes and say what they're doing in the basement. We found that out. But we also found out that in some of our circumstances, most of them were not good.
Yeah.
They were, I'll show you the right, but I'm really going to hit you with the left. I'm going to get you when you don't expect it because you're entering my world. And it's kind of, you know, what are we dealing with? You know, they're interdimensional beings and they're intelligent. And sometimes they respond on the questions of some of us. And other times they don't respond. They affect us.
Yeah.
And those around us, whether they make threats and they follow through on those threats. It's really...
And they drain.
They drain you like they drain the batteries.
They know how to use each person for like their weakest link. Like,
you know what I mean? Mind control.
Yes.
In a way. You know, it's such a big, big wide spectrum. Let's talk about recordings. How do you like to do recordings? Digital recordings or through Spirit Box or...
We use Sony digital recorders. Those are, I mean, and everyone has their own preference. We've just always went with Sony and we've got good results from them. But we do find out, because we do a lot of Facebook lives, we stream a lot of our investigations live. We've been able to capture stuff on live streams that people watching will point out to us. I actually clipped one, a little clip of it's on our Facebook page the other day. We were on a boat. We've never really invested. That was our first time, I believe, investigating a boat. It was a decommissioned tugboat on Beaver Island that used to go out in Lake Michigan and rescue, you know, boats and stuff like that. And we actually had a lot of activity on this boat. And the activity we got, it was directed towards me. It wasn't very nice. It said it wanted to kill me, basically. But that was a live stream. That was live. So we were able to capture it live. But I think we upgrade our, you know, obviously the cameras and the microphones and everything else. You can capture a lot of stuff. Technology changes and gets better and better and better. And I think it's easier. I don't want to say it's easier, but it seems like it's easier to capture EVPs. And even in the MoMA, disembodied voice we captured too on a live recently. So
what did it say?
Jeff asked a question. I forget what you asked. And a woman said no, and we all heard it.
Are you talking about the one at the Star House?
No, well,
there's been a couple of them. I mean, you know, Todd's talking about the spirit box. I mean, that was with the radio that we heard in the moment. And then obviously the Facebook Live picked that up too, but we've also just got straight EVPs before. Mm-hmm. I mean, one was at Eloise where we got this angry sounding older woman's voice that someone who had been watching the live stream recognized that nobody was there with that voice and messaged us. And then we went back and that's how we found that. And then, you know, there was another time that we got this woman's voice and I asked, you know, is this your old dress here? And this super clear, whispery woman's voice comes through and says yes, when it was only Todd and me in the room. I mean, neither of us sound like that. So, you know, there's been a few instances like that.
So it doesn't have to be like you're just sitting, you know, in the dark doing a whatever EVP session and trying to communicate. I think, and Jeff feels the same way, that it doesn't have to be at night. It doesn't have to be in a haunted house even or haunted location. It could be anywhere this stuff happens.
Yeah. It's true.
At least for us. I mean, at least for us.
No, that's true. When you're getting these recordings, are you taking pictures simultaneously to see if you're capturing any apparitions?
We are not really into photography as much. We have a lot of, we have cameras where we video a lot of stuff. But mostly it's not a lot of photography we take. We do take pictures of locations, but it's not like, you know, I know a lot of people do 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 pictures in a row. We've done that a little bit in the past, but we get so excited sometimes I think we forget about all that stuff. We just want to get into it
and
kind of forget.
So you guys have been to so many locations. What is one of the most like intense locations that you've been to that's really left a mark on you guys?
I can think of a few offhand. the first one that comes to mind is one we've talked about a few times before, but it's up in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. It's about 12 hours from Detroit, so it's pretty far away. And it's really remote. I mean, Michigan's Upper Peninsula is like practically a different state. I mean, it's nothing but really thick woods up there. And so you drive like, it's like 30 or 40 minutes just in the wilderness between towns. So there's this one called Iron County Historical Museum. And they basically have about 24 buildings from the area they've all brought onto one property. So like family cabins from the 1880s, an old schoolhouse, an old saloon, an old train station. There's a house there from a former musician. Her name was Carrie Jacobs Bond. She's the first woman to ever sell a million copies of a song. She performed from the late 1800s until 1948 when she died. So her house is there. And we went to investigate that a couple of years ago. And her house was just, you know, when we got in there, like nothing, we didn't feel anything really. And then we found some music on YouTube of her performing from like the 30s and we played it. And the whole vibe in that place just changed. And it was like electric in there. And, you know, we're in like the parlor room. I was upstairs by myself and the house had a really intense feeling at that time. And, you know, I was kind of spooked anyway, just being by myself upstairs. And Todd was on the first floor with some of our friends. And, you know, we have down the couch from Todd about 5 feet to his right is a K2 meter. And Todd basically says, you know, if anything's here with us, can you touch that green light? And the thing went all the way up to its highest reading and then shot off the couch like 8 feet towards our friend Lauren. It hit her in the leg, and you know, they all screamed, and I ran downstairs expecting a table to be levitating. The scream was so loud, you know, and they're all freaked out. Lauren started crying and left the house and wouldn't go back in. And then we all kind of left the house, and then Todd and I went back there about 20 minutes later. And you know, it's one of the only times in the 10 years I've been doing this that I can say I felt this way. It's probably been about 2 or 3 times that like every fiber of my being, like every cell of my body was like, don't go in that house. But we walked in the house and we're sitting in the parlor room and you know, we started hearing this like shuffling sound by the stairs. And all of a sudden these heavy footsteps were like, boom, 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 like coming down the stairs. And it was fast. And Todd and I both jumped up at the same time. And the worst part was you had to go back towards the stairs to get to the door. Aww. And it was a very threatening energy. I don't think that what we ran into was her. So the whole town and that museum sits above a former iron mine where there was a bunch of fatal accidents. The buildings themselves, I think, have energy attached to them. And Brandy, prior to all this happening, even before we started, you know, getting activity there, she says that in her mind's eye, she could see spirits throughout the property, like basically traversing the property and all going to this house. Like, for lack of better words, they hang out in this house. For whatever reason, but they do. Maybe there's a portal there. I don't know necessarily, but that music seemed to have been a trigger for those spirits. And it was just a really intense energy there.
They have a hangout house.
Yeah.
For real.
So do you think it's those who've crossed over in the physical world, or you think it's something totally different?
What do you think, Todd?
I have a lot of different theories on this. Sometimes I wonder if it's like a parallel universe sometimes.
I was waiting for that.
Because it's something that, I mean, I don't know what it is. I can't stress this enough. I don't know what it is with us, but there are places we go, we get so much activity. It's like, and I think we get desensitized to it sometimes. Yeah. It just happens all the time. It's like talking to your friends sometimes or hanging out with people that this stuff happens. And, we were just at Bruce Mansion and things happened there. And it's like, I have to remember that this isn't normal. This isn't a normal occurrence, but it seems like it's almost normal to us. So I don't know if, you know, people have those different theories, like, you know, a parallel universe. It's certain energies lingering still for whatever reason. Some people say it's alien. Some people say it's demonic. I mean, there's different theories out there what we're actually dealing with and what's, especially the shadow figures that we've seen. I've seen probably 3 or 4 myself. And to create that type of energy, that's something strong that can do that.
We've seen what these things can do. And it can be frightening. And for the non-believer out there, anyone who's listening, I promise you, I was the hardcore skeptic from New York. I debunked everything until it slapped me in my own face. And toys go off by themselves with no batteries. And you can't explain that no matter who you are. So paranormal phenomenon does exist. Mm-hmm. It is true. And and quite frankly, you know, you don't know. And that's the thing. You really don't know. Are you talking to Mary Jones, who died in the 1800s, and she's not leaving her old Victorian home?
Are you talking to
an imitation of her, mimic, something like you said in the beginning of the show? Is it a doppelganger? Is it something that wants to be? Or is it another form of something we don't know? What we do know is that they play a good role, especially in Gettysburg. They play a good role of, that is who you're talking to, that particular person. Whether they died in the war, whether they were fighting in a battle, whether they with the orphanage. It's very interesting how these things come forward, these spirits,
I should say, come forward. They do that too.
And and they're playing the part. If maybe it is them, and maybe it is a parallel universe, you just can't comprehend. We're not really grasping. You know, I like to ask my guests this question. Do you believe in reincarnation?
I do, definitely. And it kind of goes in line with what you were just saying there. So, you know, the Earth we know scientifically dates back far before people were here, but energy is neither created nor destroyed. So energy's always been around. So that means that it wasn't always in human form. But I feel like, you know, everything is energy. And you anything that, you know, atoms being held together to make any single item or, you know, our bodies, it's all energy. I do feel like it is recycled. I feel like, you know, these ghosts that are intelligent, you know, you get this sort of bundle of energy that, you know, becomes a person that kind of takes on, you know, these characteristics and a consciousness. But I feel like it's all part of this larger, you know, group of energy that is basically everything in the universe. So, you know, I think that people do live multiple times to become a higher form of energy, maybe to sort of advance as a soul. And then maybe one day they don't have to incarnate in person anymore. I mean, there's a whole million different ways you can look at that. But I certainly do believe reincarnation.
Has anything ever followed you guys home? Any attachments or anything serious like that?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. It's a long story too, but this one we think followed us. It could have been two separate. It could have been the same one bouncing back and forth from Randolph County Infirmary in Winchester, Indiana. I think we've never been back there, have we? Maybe once or something.
We went back there to speak after we had.
It's an uncomfortable place for us, but I don't know. I'll never figure that out. I'll never figure out why whatever it was followed us. It stayed with Jeff for 8 months, probably, I think, or nine months.
It was like 10 months. Yeah, it was. And it's not funny, but I mean, the next time that we were there, we spoke at Randolph County Infirmary in the summer of 2018, which led to us getting into Eloise Psych Hospital in that fall up here, which was a big deal in Michigan. A lot of people sort of wanted to get in there. But so when we investigated that place back in late 2016, you know, I'd always carried a medal with a Benedictine cross on it that was blessed by Bishop James Long. I carried it for like 4.5 years up till this point. And my friend was with me who had never investigated. So she was all freaked out. So I said, here, you can just have it and I'll get a new one, you know? And so we investigated and some stuff happened, but nothing too crazy. And then about a week later, I woke up at 3:57 in the morning and I looked down the hallway that leads to my bedroom, and clear as day, you know, I was not dreaming. I saw this black shadowy apparition, like my size, like speed walking down the hallway towards my bed. It was terrifying. To date, it's the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And, you know, I eventually told myself I was dreaming and got back to sleep, believe it or not. But then a few days later, like my car battery died out of the blue. And then I got locked in my bathroom, which I like never locked the door because I lived alone. So I called Todd the next day and told him all this weird stuff was happening. And then Todd, tell him what you told me.
Basically, the same stuff was happening to me. I had a brand new Dodge Ram. Went out to work. I got it that Friday. The Monday I went out to work after the weekend, truck wouldn't start. I mean, that could happen, obviously, but it's a strange coincidence that his battery died, my battery died. I woke up to a shadow figure over me in my bedroom, but I have my kids here and stuff. So I try to rationalize it as quick as I could in my head to say that's just a hoodie or something hanging on it, which it wasn't, but I convince myself that it was, because I didn't want to think that something followed us home.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, whatever happened with me, I cut off whatever was happening for whatever reason. And then Jeff's continued over the course of the year.
So I asked Brandy and other people what I should do. So they gave me advice, anything from saging and saying certain prayers to putting down black salt and leaving it for a while, then vacuuming it up and having like selenite and black tourmaline and black hematite in my place and like all this stuff. And I did it, all of it. And for a month, everything was quiet. Then on December 30th, 2016, I was just about to walk out of my apartment to meet people downtown Detroit. And I touched my door handle and my TV in my room turned on. And it's a Samsung, so it plays that jingle, you know? So mm-hmm. I went back in there and tried to talk to it, you know, tell it to shut it off, and it wouldn't. But the feeling I got was that it was trying to stop me from leaving because of the timing. Yeah. So I went out anyway, and I was at the bar with my buddies, and I had my coat in the back of my chair, and I'm walking around talking to people and stuff. My friend was sitting next to it. And then I came back, and my coat was gone. Someone stole my coat. So I had my wallet and my keys and obviously my coat in December in Michigan, very cold outside. And I always thought it was trying to stop that from happening. And then between then and September 2017, I would get this fog over my eyes in photos, and we have a bunch of these photos still to this day. And what's crazy about it is that it would come and go. So if I take a picture and it was there that day, I could take 10 pictures and it would be in every picture. It was always thicker over the left eye and thinner over the right eye. And then if it was a day it wasn't, then it wouldn't be in any of the pictures. And then lastly, in September 2017, we're doing a spirit box session in Detroit. And I asked if that spirit was with me. And this female voice said, "It's done." And that's all it said, "It's done." And I've never seen the fogging over my eyes or the shadow figure or anything ever again.
Wow.
That's interesting.
That's some story.
It sounds like, do you ever feel like you were oppressed?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I felt like, I felt that whole 10 months was rough. I mean, I was just super drained a lot of times.
Yeah.
It really, really difficult time.
Like when you lay in bed, you feel something ever lay next to you?
Not really. There was one time that I don't know if this was the same energy. I almost feel like it wasn't. I'm a side sleeper, and I was in that same apartment, though. I was laying on my right side, and I was definitely not asleep yet. And I felt something push on my left side, like push down on my left side, not in like the shape of a hand, just sort of a general like area, you know, just pushing down on my side enough to where I could feel it. But I never rolled over. I never looked. In the feeling I got, the thought I had right when I felt that was that it was one of my grandparents. I don't know why I thought that. And I kind of wonder if they were around, you know, to help rid this energy from me.
Could be.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. I talk about dreams a lot because I believe that spirits come through in the dream. So let's say you're investigating during the day or you're thinking about a grandparent. And then you're in the deepest form of relaxation, meditation through the dream state. Have any of these spirits in the investigations come through in the dream where you see somebody that you don't even know?
Hasn't it happened to you before?
I've had
that Beaver Island thing. You remember that?
I've had dreams about locations that we're going to, but I don't know if that's just me, my mind going over it, and then I go to sleep and I think about it, or is it something coming to me to kind of warn me what's going to happen. I don't have a lot of vivid dreams where I remember them, but when I do, like the Beaver Island one, it's kind of let me know ahead of time that it was some about that, not going to the lighthouse. And I don't know. It was just a weird dream, but it scared me in the dream. But then we were going there. You know, I could have been playing that over in my head, over and over in my head before we were going. And then I went to sleep the night before, the couple days before, and I can't explain that stuff, so I can't say that's truly, you know, something supernatural coming to me. It could be my own mind playing tricks on me. But I've had different dreams sometimes, and weird things have happened. There was one we did a live at Eloise, and we did the video, didn't think anything of it. Then I went to bed, and I slept upstairs at my house, and my smoke detector started going off. And I had just changed the batteries like 2 weeks ago. Or 2 weeks prior. So I get up and I try to find, you know, they're all over the house. I'm trying to find out which one's going off. It's like 4 a.m, I think. And I go downstairs to my computer room. My laptop's open. And the Facebook Live from Eloise is playing. And I look at it and it showed me running. It showed like stuff happening. And I listened to it and we caught some really good EVPs of things in this room with me. And the smoke, I lost track of time. The smoke detector wasn't going off anymore. I forgot all about that. So I texted Jeff or called him at 4:30 in the morning. And I obviously he was sleeping, but I said, you got to see this. Something was in that room with me that I would have never even known, but something turned it on my computer for me to see at that time. And sent the smoke detectors off. I can't explain that. That's something I cannot explain. And it's not by coincidence because I wasn't even on that. I wasn't on Facebook. I wasn't even on that video at all, but it was on my computer playing.
That's fascinating. That's kind of what
sticks out to me.
That's scary.
It's scary and it's fascinating because, look, I can tell you firsthand, it's, you know, they play with electronics. They play with cell phones, computers, radios, and they know how to come. That's the interest. They know how to come through.
Yeah.
The spirits know how to come
through. They know how to break your dishwasher and your wash machine.
They could burn things out, too. I mean, all joking aside, you know, I always tell people don't provoke because you don't know who you're talking to. And I've seen people challenge the unknown, and all of a sudden they go outside and the car will start.
Yeah.
A new car, nevertheless. Or they drive 3 blocks away and get into a car accident. You know, you got to be careful in the words you choose, I tell people, because you don't know. It could just be that one bad one. Most of the time, it's you know, I think it's fair game. It's fine. And, you know, it's peaceful.
You never know.
But then there's those odd times when, you know, provoking and, I've seen horrible things like that.
Well, that's one thing we don't do. We don't provoke at all. I think we try to treat it as people. So we're very respectful to the location, to the energies we're communicating with. You know, some people do provoke and try to do all this crazy stuff. And I don't think that's not what we're about. Cause we always think of it like, if you're coming in my house, a stranger coming to your house, you know, you're not just going, who are you? What's your name? Tell us, you know, you don't talk that way. You said, hey, you know, I'm Todd. This is Jeff. Does anyone want to talk to us? Stuff like that. That's how I always open it. And it sounds kind of corny, I guess, in a way, but I think we try to be respectful just so that stuff doesn't happen to us. I mean, because you do hear horror stories of people provoking and summoning certain things, and you know, we both had attachments. It was rough for me for a little bit. It didn't last as long as Jeff's, but I remember telling Jeff I didn't want to do it. I wasn't even myself. I felt like a different person. I was going to quit the paranormal. I didn't really leave my house for a couple weeks. I didn't want to have anything to do with anyone. So that stuff really does happen. I think, you know, people see on TV, they don't really show that on TV too much, but we try to tell people that want to get into the paranormal, what are the dangers of it? There's really not any dangers, unless you break the law and trespass, but you know, don't do that. But, getting attachments and dealing with something we don't even know what we're dealing with and you're going new into it, you have to be very, very careful and just be respectful as you can. Even when Jeff was talking about that house where we both ran out, Jeff turned around and said, you know, thank you. And, you know, shut the door, even though we're both scared out of our minds, just to show kind of respect, you know, cause it was, I think you have to do that. Be as respectful as you can, while doing this.
You know, a lot of this has to do with mindset and the intention. So we had experiments done years ago when for a builder, for example, we wanted work done and the builder would go into a home and who doesn't believe, we didn't talk about nothing paranormal and do the work in a very haunted location. Nothing happens at all. Nothing. Because there's nothing to talk about. There's nothing there. Now we also send in people with abilities, medium, psychics, clairvoyants, and they storm out of there within 20 minutes. So it's the intention and it's the mindset that once you open up to their world, it's like the radio station. Once you change the channel and you hit that right channel because you're intentionally trying to go on their station, you know, that's it. It's open and it's game on at that point. Versus someone who's building, they have a job to do. They don't believe. They don't care. They don't want to hear. They got to do work, get paid, and nothing, absolutely nothing happens. So I find that very interesting, that the mind and how the spirits know what we're going to do before we do it. Like you said, you have a dream of about a place you're going to go to, and you don't know if it's psychosomatic power of thought because it's been on your mind. But what I've learned is that they already know what you plan on, what's your intention. If you're planning on going to the Amityville Horror House and doing something, they're going to visit you first.
Yeah.
In most cases, you're going to get that visitation. If it's malevolent, if it's not malevolent, then I really don't, you know, I don't think they really care.
Another good example of that.
The big question mark is, who are we speaking to?
Yeah.
Is it a demon that's malevolent, mm-hmm. that's actually trying to destroy us? And I've seen cases where, unfortunately, people aren't around. Yes, there are all those cases. They're very, very rare. And then there's cases where it's just a friendly conversation. What's the most intelligent response one of you have gotten where the spirit's trying to help you and give you the correct information?
Trying to help us. Let me think about this. You know, I mean, I don't know if it's trying to help us. It wanted us out of the lighthouse. But, I mean, that really good EVP that we got.
And the one the other day that I was talking about, we were using a spirit box. And I said, a woman said my name. And I said, do you have a message for me? And this voice that came through, I guess it could sound demonic. It had a dark tone to it. It said, I have a message. And, it, you know, again, the ghost box are scanning super, super fast. And then, you know, we were both like freaked out. Like, did you hear that? And then it said, continued on. It said, kill you. You know, I asked, do you have a message? Then it said, I have a message. And then the woman came back that said my name at the end. She said, kill you. So, I mean, I didn't die. It didn't kill me. But I don't know if that was a warning, if yeah. I was not wanted in that location. It seems like a lot of times, wherever we go, no matter what kind of device we're using, whether ghost box, we don't use apps heavily. There's one app we do use that we've got. I mean, I can't explain the results. It's called Necrophonic. And they always say my name, no matter what device we're using. And they'll say Jeff's name quite a bit too. So we can't explain that. So it's like, do you have a message for us? And sometimes they'll talk, but it's broken up. So you have to try and put it together. Other times it'll be almost a full sentence coming through. Again, over radio stations or scanning super, super fast, you know, and it blows me away. And I think the last few years we've really gotten to like ghost boxes. I think we have like 17 now or something. And there's only a few builders, you know, in the world. I mean, we get them from all over and they all sound different. They all bring something different. And it's that direct communication that you get, instant communication a lot of the times that you get. When, you know, with the REM pods or what other people use all that other stuff too, but it freaks me out sometimes. I mean, it's just
yeah,
about
it freaks me out. You know, sometimes I go to bed with one eye open, like, is it real? No, it's fake. I try to convince myself this is all fake. It's I don't believe it, just go to bed and everything's good and all that stuff, like a big baby. Yeah. And then the other part of me is like, I'm not going downstairs right now, I'll wait till the morning.
You've done that.
It's crazy, but you know, I think that once you experience certain things that affect you in certain ways, mm-hmm. and you really don't know, like, who wants to see something face to face that can give you a heart attack, right? I don't want to see that.
We were at it was a former funeral home, but now it's like a brew house, and we were down in, I don't know what you call that, I guess where they bring the bodies in from the street level back in the late 1800s. There was like a big, huge wooden door that would slide open, then take them on out of the hearse down to, I guess, the embalming room would have been where we're at. We kept hearing, and this is concrete in the basement, so we kept hearing footsteps, just like our footsteps, and there's only three of us in the basement. And so I took off running, like, towards it. I had a camera, and I took off running towards it. And these guys, it was Joe Posey, a friend of ours, and Jeff, like, they thought something happened to me because we were just talking. And the next thing you know, I just took off running. But I want to capture something on video. Like, what is that walking? Of course, I didn't see anything. And then we get back to do what we're doing. You hear the footsteps, like, walking right behind us. And they were clear as day, like us walking on the ground, you know, on the cement. So there's a part of me that wants to see something. Yeah. And we've seen plenty. But then do you really want to come face to face with whatever's there? You know what I mean? You got to think about that way, too. Like a normal person, I try to be normal too sometimes. I guess we're weird doing what we do. But people always ask, and I've ran out of places. I'm not embarrassed to say I've ran out of a few places that have been pretty scary. But
listen, it can be quite frightening sometimes. You know, you can go in there all like tough and baggage. You know, I'll tell you straight up, I've seen the biggest, toughest guy, Army people. I don't know, nothing scares me. Nothing. I fought here, I fought there. I've seen them shiver. And paranormal paranormal hauntings. And it's like, they're like, listen, I can fight battles. I can't fight what I can't see. This is creepy.
Because you don't know what it is. You don't know what you're dealing with.
I'm being pushed. And that's that, you know, it's quite intimidating that you really don't know, you know, what is it?
Yeah.
You know, hey, have you ever gotten a full body apparition or just the dark shadows in the pictures or video?
The only thing that I've seen, the closest thing is, you know, a shadow figure that's got the definite clear shape of a person, but it's always translucent. And we've got really, really good photos of that. One of them was captured by a friend of ours, Bill Miller. We've talked about it on our page a lot. If anybody wants to look at it, is at a place called the Pilot House. You know, I myself, unfortunately, have never seen a ghost with like the face and the clothes and the hair and stuff. And I think they exist. I question whether I'm sensitive enough even to see that.
Yeah, the only things I've ever seen has been a dark. Oh, I see the outline of the body, but it's always been dark. I think I've seen three shadow figures. I mean, they're very rare to see something like that. But I've never seen, like Jeff said, you know, a facial, you know, fully clothed or anything like that. I don't know if like we might not be in tune to that, or maybe that just doesn't exist. But the shadow people do. We've both seen those a few times.
Yeah, that blows my mind, and it kind of goes away with in line with those shapeshifter things where, you know, it looks like one thing and then it looks like another thing. It looks like optical illusion, then it's something else, and you don't know if it's the trickery of the mind. They always say these things could do parlor tricks, where they can make you see something that really doesn't exist. Example is your walls are bleeding, but they're not bleeding, but that's what you see.
Yeah.
That's what the picture sees, but it's not happening if you were to touch the wall. Someone coming down the stairs when stairs don't exist in that part of the house, but you hear it.
Yeah.
And you know, when you talk about these parallel universe, I believe you're onto something there, because I'm a believer in reincarnation through my self-experience of deja vu. I know I've been there, and you know, some of us have known that, hey, I've been here before. I know this is real. And then I say to myself, the people who have near-death experiences, do you believe in an afterlife of heaven or where you go after here? And they're like, yes. So then my thing is, well, if you're reincarnated and it's 100 years later and you do an investigation on someone's house, well, then how are they there? And yet they're there because they say, I'm Mary Jones. So is it the parallel universe that they could be multidimensional? And are we multidimensional beings that we don't even know that we are somewhere else within our soul group?
That's a deep thought, and I think it's a certain possibility. You know, there's so many theories out there and things that are entirely possible. And I think that we're going to, as the years go on, I think we're going to learn more. I mean, the people say it's a pseudoscience. I mean, imagine trying to explain an iPhone to someone in 1921. I mean, they have absolutely no idea what the heck you're talking about.
You're an alien. Yeah,
you know. But in 100 years, though, a lot of this stuff might make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah. I definitely agree with you. Going from a rotary phone in the 60s and now looking at cell phones, who would ever thought back then?
Right.
I was born in the late 60s. Oh, I'm old. I'm an old man. Hey, what's one of the most haunted locations that you've been to? And what's on your bucket list as we're rounding the top of the hour?
Todd, do you want to take that one?
We've been to a lot lately.
Most haunted.
A bucket list, I'll say, that I'd love to investigate one day would be like the Winchester Mystery House. I'd love to do that. That or a darker one would be the Heaven's Gate House. That's still standing. I would be really interested to investigate there too.
Yeah, those are Alcatraz too. For some reason, I'd like to do Alcatraz, Winchester. And Jeff and I talked about the Heaven's Gate House. I can't imagine the energy that's still there in that house.
Have you investigated that?
No, it sat vacant for a long time. And then I think someone just bought it within the last 4 or 5 years and had to redo it. And because it's kind of strange to buy a house like that. But they never tore it down. You know, it's in the middle of that neighborhood still. And
I would love to see you guys investigate that. That would be mind-blowing all the way around. That would be fascinating.
Definitely.
Pretty cool. Yeah. As far as, like, most haunted, I mean, one of my favorites still to this day is Ohio State Reformatory, Mansfield, Ohio. I mean, that's the first place I ever saw a ghost, and five of us saw this thing at the same time over like 15 seconds. This like shadow figure literally walked out of a shower area down the hall, turned right, and then walked into a cell. And it was like, this was 2014. So the cameras sucked. And like, it was too faint for the camera to pick it up. Like, it just looked black because it just couldn't, it was way, way down the other side of the cell block. But we're all watching this thing happen and talking about it, and watched it walk right into a jail cell. And, wow. You know, that was one of a lot of experiences there, but OSR is legitimately a very haunted place.
Very interesting.
Trans Allegheny was haunted, but there was a point where I fell asleep in one of the rooms. It was uncomfortable, and then it got comfortable. Like, I was really relaxed there, which is strange because I don't ever really stay the night in haunted locations or reported haunted locations. We've done it in the past. I think when we first started out, we were gung-ho on doing that. But now I just rather get out of there and kind of regroup, collect my thoughts, decompress, and just leave that location. But
yeah.
Talia, I don't know. That was just a weird thing. I felt like it was in the summer, too, and the floor, the cement floor was so cool. And I fell asleep. Just one of those things. But we had some good experiences. That was with the doppelganger where Jeff said he heard me down the hall talking, and I came out and I said, he said he was yelling down the hall to me, "What'd you say?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? I didn't say anything." And he said, "You were saying something." I said, "I didn't say anything." I was like so far away from him too. And that happened at Waverly. I followed Jeff, or I thought was Jeff, all through, you know, whatever it was trying to get me alone away from, you know, the rest of the people. And I was so excited to get going in there, and I thought I saw Jeff sneaking in ahead of me. I'm like, "No way, I'm gonna catch him." So I started following him, like, "Jeff," and he go, "Come on." I go, "Hold on, wait for me." He said, "Come on, I'm up here." And so finally I'm like, "Where are you at?" Because it was dark. I didn't grab my flashlight because I was trying to catch up to him. So I called him, and he answered. I said, "What are you doing? Where are you? Wait for me. Are you ahead of me?" He said, "Yeah, just come a little bit forward." Then I heard him. He had come in looking for me. And I said, "What are you doing? Where are you at? How'd you get behind me?" He goes, "What are you talking about?" And then I said, "I just called you." So on my phone, it said call. I talked to him for like 45 seconds. He pulled his phone out. There was nothing. He didn't get a call. Wow. So I talked to the fake Jeff or whatever it was that was trying to get me alone. But I started feeling weird. Like, why are you getting me deeper and deeper into Waverly with no lights? It was pitch black, away from everybody else. You know, what's going on? It was like, after a while, it wasn't like, first it was kind of like, okay, I'm going to, you know, catch up to you or whatever. And I was almost running. Because he sounded like he was close, and I get to where I thought he was, and he was gone again. Then he'd be way ahead of me again. I'm like, what are you doing? That was like the strangest experience, I think, at Waverly. And one of them, and since we've been doing the investigating, that's ever happened. I mean, I can't explain that. That's just, what is that?
You know, that is amazing. You know, we've been told there's no time and space within that realm.
Yeah.
And I think that all possibilities of what the other side could do is we're just tapping into it. Look, here's a fact. We know ghosts are real. We know that entities do exist, and we know that we go on. These are facts. We also know that they can do things with electronics. It's not mind manipulation. This is real things that can happen from the other side. It's been proven over and over again. So if we know on a scratch of a surface that maybe you can get something in a picture or through a video, or they're affecting your equipment or draining you, then we know there's a lot of realism to this. But that's a scratch on the surface of what the capabilities of these things can really do. And I believe, like, you know, I like what you guys are doing. I said that at the beginning of the show, because you get further into it. Like, how far can we go to their side, and how much evidence can be gained in certain low energy points around the world? These locations, some locations have high, high energy. Like I always said to a lot of guests, you know, I don't think it's possible, but if anyone could ever investigate one of the pyramids, the Great Pyramid, I believe that the communication would be second to none, but I don't think Egypt's going to allow that. But that would be second to none when you're thinking about pharaohs and kings and things to that nature.
Yeah.
But as we get closer and technology gets better, you know, look back in the 70s, it was tape recorders, right, with the Warrens. And now it's REM pods and SLS.
Yeah,
things that blow our minds. Hey, really, really quick before we end the show, how do you think that the spirits can make keys and cell phones and little things disappear. What's your thoughts on that?
I think some strong energies have the ability to move items. You know, I mean, there was an instance back in the 99, my grandma died and my mom's car keys went missing and we couldn't find them. Then we found them just sitting in the, on her dresser and in the middle of her dresser upstairs. And, you know, she talked to a psychic medium, you know, months later after that, and this guy said, did you lose your keys like in this time frame? She said, yeah. And then turns out that this guy told her that my grandma had moved her keys because if she had left on time for work that day, that she would have been in a fatal car accident. And this guy didn't know anything about her. So, I mean, I think that these strong entities, or if something, you know, divine is supposed to happen, I think that they have that ability.
Very interesting. Hey, where can people find you guys and tell them what's going on next in your lives?
So you can find us, our website's DetroitParanormalExpeditions.com, or you can find us on most major social media channels under the same name. And we are going to be investigating some locations coming up. We're looking at a location down south, more to come on that, Civil War era type building. But we'll
built
announce
in 1810.
That.
We're heading out in January, so it's
we'll announce that as that comes together. So stay tuned to like our Facebook page and other channels. And yeah, we're you know, going to be hosting more events in 2022 at this really cool Michigan location called the Bruce Mansion. Give it a Google, it'll pop right up. Imagine what a haunted house looks like. It looks exactly like that. So it's a really great location. So more to come.
Well, nice. Thank you guys for coming on tonight.
Yeah, this has been a quick show. Really, unfortunately, the hour goes really quick. Yeah. But we'd love to do a second show with you, gentlemen, because we do have questions we didn't get to privately within the messenger, and we want to get to those. And you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. And thank you so much for coming on Horsefly Chronicles.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, Julie, wrap it up.
And special thanks to Carnation for sponsoring the show, and join us next Monday night at 8 o'clock on 105.3 FM from New Orleans, and stay tuned from the Angel Rock with the amazing Laura Lee Potten.
Everyone have a great night. Be safe, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you guys. Thank you. Have a great night.